Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. Bless you. Nice to be back together again tonight with the purchase of his blood. You don't see the table, but we are going to have communion tonight. We don't advertise it because for some strange reason, people that would have come don't come. I don't understand that. I mean, if the Lord were to come right now, would you be ready? Amen. Should be ready all the time. Amen. So it shouldn't be to me, this is baby food. This is, excuse me for saying it, but I'm going to say it again. It's baby food. Yes. We should be ready all the time. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. So we, without further delay, we'd like to get into the word once again tonight, the overcoming word, part 29, part 290. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. I think this book means more to us than in any other age. It's a book that's been probed at, looked at, discussed, talked about. It's been a blessing throughout the ages, but the bride, this is her story. Amen. And so, therefore, she'll relate to it more than anyone else. Amen. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. How many would have a need you'd like to make known with an uplifted hand this morning? Let's bow our heads, or this evening. Father, we thank you so much that we can come together once again with those of like precious faith. And Lord, no matter what the circumstances are in this life, we're still able to come together, and we appreciate that, and we thank you for it, Lord. And we're also thankful for those that are able to listen in tonight, Lord, that you've made it possible for them to be partakers of the very same manna that the rest of us are partakers of. And Lord, we care about them, and they mean so much to us. And we long for the time where we can physically be gathered together. But in the meantime, Lord, we recognize that the most important thing is for our spiritual unity to be taking place in your body. Lord, whether we're absent or whether we're together, we want to fervently pray for one another. We want to keep one another before the throne. We want to enter into one another's sufferings. We want to make the claims that in this dimension that you've already made on our behalf for our brothers and for our sisters, and Lord, for our own individual walks. Father, we ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. We ask that you'd search our hearts, Lord. And Father, that if there's anything that is out of the way, anything that's not right, Lord, we trust that you'll convict our hearts. Your Spirit brings that conviction. And Lord, we're so thankful for it, because without your Spirit bringing that conviction, we would go on without knowing what was wrong, without making things right. But Lord, it's your desire that all things would be well, Lord, with us, even as everything is well with our soul, that it would be well, Lord, with every other part of us. And you've made that provision. And so, Lord, we humbly come before you tonight, just ask for you to speak to each and everyone. And Lord, as you break the bread of life to us, we're hungry and we're thirsty and we're ready to partake of what you have prepared for us. And we're confident, Lord, that it'll prepare us for the days that are ahead of us, as well as the day that we're living in. Bless each and every one now, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. What a tremendous thing it is, brothers and sisters, to be united with the Son of God. Amen. You know, I still marvel. I still question, you know, in the natural. I still wonder, how did I get caught up in all of this? You know, I know that as far as the first birth goes, there's nothing in me that's worthy. There's nothing in me that's even desirable. And yet, I've been chosen by Him to be united with Him. And it's something that will never become common to us. Neither should it. We know that Solomon was a king. He was not a high priest. He was not a priest. He was a king. And as such, we know that Solomon was not constrained to marry only from among his kin. And he could marry a widow also if he so desired. And then we know that there was another category, the category of the priesthood. The priests in the Old Testament, they were further restricted in who they could marry. They were more restricted than Solomon was. And then there was another even smaller group, and it was the high priest and the lineage of the high priest. The high priest was constrained to marry only from among his kin and only a virgin, being a shadow of Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. He could not marry a woman that had been espoused to a man, though she's espoused and yet not married, and that man has never known her as a wife. He could not be espoused to a woman in that category. And it's because what was foreshadowed in the Old Testament would later on be fulfilled in the New Testament through Jesus Christ and also through His bride, other prophecies through His bride. So each and every one of us, when we came into this world by our first birth, each and every one of us was joined to the devil. But the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. He paid the penalty and divorced us from our sin nature. And when we allowed Him to, He crucified that sin nature in order for us to be born a second time as a new creature, part of the new creation. He then speaks of you and I in the New Testament as being without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, blameless in Him. And there's such a confusion around this, and it's such a hard thing for people to get a hold of, because the traditional views is that the old man is redone. But this is not the old man with a makeup job. This is not a patch-up job. This is a new creation. Yet we were all born in sin. So how could this be possible? Leviticus 21, verse 12. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. Speaking of the high priest, the requirements upon the high priest. For the crown of the anointing oil of God, of his God, is upon him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow, or a divorced woman, or profane, or an harlot. These shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. So the high priest is placed in a category that's above his brothers. It's a more restricted category than his brothers are living in, if you will. Likewise, if the requirements on him are more restrictive, then his wife also must be in a higher category in order for him to take her as his wife. In the Old Testament, an Israelite could marry a woman that had been divorced. There were certain provisions that were made for that. A priest could take a wife of another priest that had died. And he could take a woman also that was espoused and not yet married, of course, whose husband had died. It was permissible for a priest to do that. But the high priest was in a different category. And also his wife was. We know that in the Old Testament, the pattern that was laid out for us was that God chose a nation from amongst the nations. God chose Israel, and Israel was his first fruit. And he showed through the calling of a nation from the nations in the Old Testament that in the New Testament, he would have a people that he would call from amongst all of the peoples for his name's sake. Israel was a type of the New Testament bride body of Jesus Christ. He chooses his bride from among the people, and he takes them from out of darkness, brings them into the light, quickens them by his very own life, making them a part of the new creation. Amen. Now, Christ was the, you know, what's amazing is that the world in general has no idea that there's a new creation that's taken place. They're so caught up in looking backwards and trying to describe what happened that they're missing what is currently happening. There are new creatures that are being born by the Spirit of God each and every day. The kingdom of God is growing moment by moment. So he chooses his bride from amongst all the peoples. He takes them out of darkness, quickens them with his life, making them a part of this new creation. We know that Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the firstborn among many brethren. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And his bride is in the same category that he's in. And she must be in the same category as him if she's to be united with him. So his bride is likewise the first fruits from among all that are going to be resurrected. She comes up before all others. And the earth will follow what God has done in you in the mortal realm. We being the first fruits, we groan to be clothed upon with our heavenly house. This is not our permanent home. And all nature desires to be clothed, and all nature desires to be restored back to its original condition. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, your soul has been placed back into Eden while you wait for the rest of you to be clothed with immortality. All nature is groaning, all nature is travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. And why would that be? It's because nature cannot be restored. Nature cannot be brought back into its rightful position, its first position, until the sons and daughters of God are manifested upon the earth. Because it was man that fell, and then nature fell. So man must be restored so that his kingdom can be restored. So they are the first fruits, the manifested sons and daughters of God. The rest will follow. Nature will follow. So God started with a natural order, we understand, of the old creation. And this old creation was governed by laws. And then God deals with us after a new order when we become a part of the new creation of God. When man fell in the Old Testament, God had an atonement for man. But this atonement didn't have the power to bring man back to his original state. It did not have a redemptive power. It did not have a restorative power. And so God brought forth the first of the new creation, which is deity. Oh, I hope you can handle this evening. It's deity in mortal flesh. It's deity in human form. And he walked on the earth as a mortal. And the deity of God came to dwell in him in the fullness at the River Jordan one day. He was the purity of the Word already. He was the Word made flesh. But the fullness of the Godhead came to dwell in him after he was baptized at the River Jordan. And the Spirit descended upon him as a dove from the heavens. He was crowned as the second Adam when the fullness came to dwell in him on that day. The first of this new race. The first of the God race. Part man, part God. Heaven and earth embracing in one place. The first of the new creation, or as the scripture says, the firstborn of the new creation. So when you and I are born again of the new creation, we have a portion of him that contains the very same elements of him that was in him. So in other words, Brother Branham gives us this example. He says, if you take a teaspoon and you go out to the ocean and Don't try this because you've got to go about, 900 miles or whatever. But if you were to go out, take a teaspoon and go out into the ocean and dip that spoon in there and pull it out, what you would have in that spoon would be what's in the water, right? But you wouldn't have the fullness of the water. You wouldn't have the full ocean. You'd have a teaspoonful, but in that teaspoon would contain the same elements that are in the rest of the body, right? So we could say it like this. You and I tonight, we contain a drop of that water.
Amen.
We contain a drop, and he contained the full ocean, or the full sea, if you will, right? But in that drop is the resurrection. In that drop is the power to raise you up again. In that drop is the power to live right, to talk right. In that drop is the virtues, the very nature, the attributes, the character of Christ is in that drop. In that drop is healing. In that drop is peace. In that drop is deliverance. In that drop is joy and patience and temperance and so on. It is of the same chemistry. The difference is the measure. He was filled without measure. You and I are filled in measure. But the measure that you have tonight is enough to speak a world into existence and go off and live on it. Every one of us has enough power in us to raise us from the dead. I'm counting on that tonight. Because I'm going to lose my mind. If I go the way of the grave, my mind's going to be gone. So there's nothing in my spirit realm, and certainly nothing in my natural realm that can bring me back up. So I'm relying on that power. Glory to God. It's of the same chemistry, but it's of a different measure. So God wants to marry a bride. And his bride is more than a church. Now, we appreciate the church. We're thankful for the church. Provisions have been made for the church. When we talk about the church, we're talking about whosoever will. But whosoever will is not the bride. It's not whosoever will, come and marry me. That's not what the scripture says. God wants to marry a bride. The church is whosoever will. Let them come and drink. Let them come and partake. But the bride is more than that. The church says, I'm not worthy. The church says, I'm no good. The church says, I don't deserve this. The church says, I will never amount to much. The church says, I'm a sinner and I'll always be a sinner. The church says, he just felt sorry for me and this is what he did for me. But not the bride. That's not what the bride is declaring this evening, friends. You see, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But the church was not lost. Because the church did not come out from his genes. The church was never with him. The church did not come from his genes as his bride came from his genes. And the church, the bride became subject to vanity, not willingly. Listen, friends, you can't lose something that you never had. If it isn't yours, you can't lose it. So to lose something, it means it's something that you once had. We were once in him. We were once a part of him. We came from him. You know, we went through the story of the prodigal son. We went through the story of the lost coin and so forth. And we see that the prodigal son, he didn't become a son when he came back home. He was a son. He was a son that got separated from his father. But when he came to himself, he went back home. Because he was a son. The coin that was lost from the headdress that the woman wore, that was a type of her oaths that she'd made to her husband. There were things that she promised to keep. He had given to her, and she promised to keep these things. And so if she were to lose a coin, and she would go and seek and look and sweep through the house and You know, dust would be everywhere. She'd get the lamp and she'd get the broom and she'd go to look for it. When she found it, it didn't become a coin. It was a coin. It's something that she once had that she lost that was restored back to her. So the bride of Jesus Christ, she was in him. She was with him. She came out of the eternal. When the Logos came out of the eternal, she was a thought that became part of that word. She doesn't remember it, but she was there. Amen. And then we became flesh, and we became subject to vanity, not willingly. We were lost. Amen. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So you were lost because your identity was forfeited by the head of the first race, by the head of the old race, by the head of the old order, Adam. He forfeited our identity. Our names were on the Lamb's Book of Life. And he had that book in his hand. But he forfeited that book. And with it, he forfeited your name. He forfeited your identity. So that book went back into the hands of the original owner. So you were lost because your identity was forfeited by that first couple, by the head of the first race. When Adam sinned, Adam represented everyone whose names were on the Lamb's Book of Life. And we fell when he fell. We didn't choose to fall. But if we were given the same choice, we would have done the same thing. So what does God do? Well, God's solution is to make a new race. And with this new race, he makes a new head of the new race. Instead of Adam, he makes another Adam. And this new race is a God people. And these people will make mistakes. These people will have frailties. These people will be mortal. They will repent. Because the humanity is still there. They'll need to repent. They'll need correction in the flesh. But once mortality takes on immortality, there's no more mistakes. We'll have a body that matches the soul. So your soul, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, your soul has moved into the immortal realm already. You pass from death unto life. But your body also needs to be reborn. Your body also needs to be transformed, just as the head of the new race was brought forth in an immortal state. He died as a mortal. He came forth as an immortal. He can never die again. It's a good thing. He paid the price once and for all. And it's a good thing it only needed to be paid once and for all, because there's nobody else to pay it if it had to be paid again. He's the only one that could do it. And he's done it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Branham tells us in the Laodicean church age, he says, there you see that that though man was of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, he has become a new creation of God. Think about that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's where you were created. You were created in him. And there's no sin in him. You came from the thoughts of God, and you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Friends, he's declared it. He's written it. So let it be written, so let it be done. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is not something you try to become. This is not something you decide to become. This is what you really are. This is what you were created to be. You say, well, I got a choice. Yeah, you choose to be born again, but who wouldn't do that? That seed gene that's laying in you is crying out for life. And it won't be satisfied with anything but that life. Colossians 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is a new creation. Friends, oh, we don't have time to go all the different directions that we could go with this tonight. I'm just going to go ahead and flatten you for a moment. All right, see, there's some Lysol here if we need to wake you up, or ammonia or something, yeah. It'll do something. Listen, he didn't save your soul. There, I went ahead and did it. He redeemed you.
Amen.
And he redeemed you because you were his.
Amen.
The bride is family.
Yes.
We don't become family. We are family. We were together in him a lot longer, way before there was an element, before there was an Adam. You and I were together. And we were sons and daughters of God. Amen. We didn't become sons and daughters of God. We were created sons and daughters of God. You were family before you were ever lost. And that's why he came to find you. Because you're kin. And you must be kin in order to be redeemed. Because your Redeemer is a near kinsman. It's, friends, it's more than, it'll just break on you, but it's more than the fact that he became kin, he became mortal because you're mortal. It's more than that. He became your kin because there's a gene on the inside of him that's related to the gene that's on the inside of you. The gene on the inside of him is the attribute of the fullness of God. And the gene that's down on the inside of you is an attribute of a portion of God. But it's all from the same source. And it's all part of the same family. So really, he came to die for his family. Glory to God. And whosoever will is given an opportunity as well. But the purpose of redemption is for his own. The seed of God that was to be you was in you, but it remained dormant. It was covered by the darkness of sin, by the blackness of sin. He goes on to say, this new creation is not the old creation made over. Oh, I hope somebody's listening tonight. It's not a patch-up job. It's not a reformation. It's not, well, I'll try harder. He says, or it could not be called a new creation. This is exactly what it says it is. New creation. It is another creation, distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing by ways of the flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham, and Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line. But now, out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. Now by his spirit, he's creating many sons unto himself. God the creator creating himself a part of his creation.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Friends, if you're the offspring of God, you're part of God.
Amen.
You came out of him.
Amen.
Amen. So he's creating himself into his own creation. Oh, we've done this before, but I think it's just fitting here tonight to go through this again. If my father was an elephant, what would I be? Huh? Are you sure? If my father was a giraffe, what would I be? If my father was a hyena, what would I be? Thank God he's not a hyena. If my father is God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on, friends.
Hallelujah.
What would that make me?
Yes.
A son of God. An amateur God. A part of God. I'm of the same species. Of the same nature. Of the same race. Deity gives birth to deity. And he chose, friends, to give birth to that deity in the manger of humanity.
Right.
And that's what's so striking, and that's what's so hard for us to grasp. Because we look at it, we think, oh no, God would never do that. He would never pour himself into frail humanity. That's exactly what he did.
Right.
Starting with the first of the new creation. And continuing on with the rest. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, friends, being raised a Baptist, being raised in the denominations, the church thought on this is that you're being born again, but it's the same you being birthed a second time. But it's not the same person coming through a different process. It's not you, okay, you've been washed and forgiven, but it's the same you, and now you got another chance at life. What are you going to do this time? Right? It's a different man being born from above. In fact, the correct translation of this, Jesus is saying, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again. And born again, actually the correct translation is born from above. So it's really not even being born again. It's being born from above. We've been born from below. But now we must be born from above. So it's a different man, it's a different nature being born from above. Now Nicodemus thought it was the same one being born a second time. And so that's why he said, well, how can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? How can me, the same man, be birthed a second time? Well, we're not talking about that, knucklehead. That's not what Jesus was saying. He's saying you must be born from above. You were born from below, but now you need to be born from above. You were born the first time in your mother, from your mother's womb, right? You came forth, and at some point, you were disconnected from your mother. You changed dimensions. You came from a dimension of your mother's womb where you were connected to your mother, but then you came out of your mother into another dimension. Oh, come on, friends. You didn't have to breathe in your mother's womb. You didn't have to eat. You didn't know how good you had it. No wonder some of us were overdue. I think I was 2 weeks late. I was supposed to be born December 28th, I think my mom said, but came forth January 8th instead. Started coming forth in a taxi cab on the way to the hospital. Hallelujah. It was good. Life was good. What's the rush? But you were rudely taken from your mother's womb. And you were quickly disconnected from your mother. And a breath of life was waiting for you. But you had to take it. And if you didn't take that breath of life, you didn't survive. You came from one realm into another realm. And that realm that you came into was there all along. Just waiting for you to come into it. I hope somebody's listening tonight. So is it with the new birth. New spiritual life comes forth in you. And you have to be cut off from something and come into this new dimension, but this new dimension's been here all along. It's just another dimension that's turning a little faster than the one that we're in right now, but it's a heavenly dimension. And that part of you that's born again is in that dimension. That's why nobody can point it out. That's why nobody can see it. It's hidden. Where's it hidden? In another dimension. What dimension is that? The dimension that's in heavenly places. Well, where am I hidden? In Christ. Where at now? In another dimension. Oh, Brother Baker, just tell me where I'm at. You're in Christ. Satan can't find you. The church wants to put you out, but they can't find you to put you out. Because you're hidden in him. Oh, come on, friends. You change dimensions. That's why science doesn't know that you're here. That's why science can't detect this new creation, because they can't see into that dimension. Though they're probing at it. But that's where you're at. Well, hallelujah. Now, before you were born, you were treated and handled one way. Maybe your mother cooed at you and patted you and ate things to cause you to do somersaults or whatever. But once you changed dimensions, you were treated differently. And you began to learn and you began to grow and you began to feed yourself and so on and so forth. You began to do things that you never did before you changed dimensions, right? And then one day, you were born again spiritually. And you were handled differently when your soul came forth in another dimension. And you began to grow, and you began to learn, and you began to mature until you came to marriageable age. You are of the new creation. And you will never pass away. You can't die any more than God can die. That's a quote. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you have His very life in you. You can't die any more than God can die. You've passed from death unto life. You can never die again. You've come through the judgment. You can never be judged again. And you begin to grow, and you begin to learn, and you begin to mature. All things have become new. Old things have passed away. Amen. You are united with a spiritual body that's here on the earth. Amen. Well, I don't like you, Brother Doug. Brother Doug says, well, you better start. Because we're united. You can't shake me off. Well, in that case, I like you. Hallelujah. We're part of the same body. By one Spirit are we baptized into one body. He said, Father, I pray that they would be one even as we are one. Let that break on us. You know, we put so much focus on uniting with Him, and rightfully so. We do unite with Him, but we can't be united with Him and not be united with the rest of the body.
Amen. That's good.
So you're united with the spiritual body on the earth, and you're united with Christ, who happens to be the head of the body. But He's part of the very same body. And He's the head of the new race. He's the Word made flesh, and He's come to unite with the Word made flesh. Can you handle that tonight? He's the fullness of the Word made flesh. You're a portion of the Word made flesh. Is that okay? But Word unites with Word. Like species unites with like species. He didn't come, oh friends, help me out here tonight. He did not come to unite with a tape machine. We appreciate the messages and we listen to them. But we're not uniting with them. And we're not making it God. Hallelujah. But the voice that's speaking, the things that are coming forth, there's a voice on the inside that says, that's mine. That's my word. And that voice that's on the, there's the voice of God. The voice of God is in you saying, believe that. The voice of God is in you teaching you whatsoever you have heard. Likewise, he's not uniting with your Bible. We appreciate the Bible. The Bible is necessary. But the Bible's not going in the rapture. And he's not uniting with the Bible. The Bible is the word of God, but that word must become flesh. What he's uniting with, friends, is the word made flesh. And the tape machine will never be the word made flesh. So he's the living word. And if he's the living word, his bride is a portion of that living word also. He sets you free from your old nature by a spiritual death, which you allow him to bring upon you. But once you've died out to that old nature, something has to happen, because you can't live without a spiritual nature. You must have a nature. So another nature comes and takes the place of that sin nature that once ruled over you or had the rule over you. But that new nature comes by invitation only. You have to ask, and it shall be given to you. Oh, he's promised it, but you have to ask. He's not going to force it on anyone. You have a choice. But of course, if you came from God, that's what you're going to choose. That life then comes, and that nature comes, quickens that seed of life that's within you, and you become a new creature. Now, we know that you can't have two husbands. The old nature must be dead. But we also know that he's only going to marry a virgin. So if you've been married before, he can't marry you. So you've got to die. So that the real you can come forth with his nature, which is your husband. Glory to God. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. God bless you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Brother and Sister Mitchell, I was trying to, forgive me for, it's nice to see you. Isn't that something? Just, you know, known people for years and years and years and years, and all of a sudden they just show up and join in service. It's just like old times. Amen. Just keep on going. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, friends, God allowed this to be written this way for a purpose. And those that are going to stumble over this are going to stumble over it. Yeah. It's a guard. What it sounds like is that you're becoming a son or daughter of God. But that's not even what the word means here. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It wasn't you deciding, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was his will. Amen. Glory. Amen. So this word become here means to come to pass. We are birthed and we come to pass in stages. To them gave he power to come to pass, the sons of God, to come into being, to come into manifestation. And that is taking place in stages, from glory to glory. So we're birthed all at once, but we come to pass in stages. We start out as little babies, but we grow up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Because You already were a son or daughter of God. What do you do with Job? Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy and the morning stars sang? 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, the scripture says he was the only begotten of the Father, right? That was true at that time. Think about that now. Because if we're not careful, we say, well, he's the only begotten of the Father, and he's the only begotten of the Father. But if he's the first of the God race, who's begotten of the Father, where'd the rest of them come from? Where'd the rest of the sons and daughters of God come from? They are begotten of the Father. But he had to be begotten first. And Peter tells us, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This word begotten, it means to be born again, to produce again, to be born anew. How many can say I've been born anew? So we are also begotten of our Father. We did not come from below, but we came from above. Amen. Jesus said, you must be born from above. Okay, let's do that. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. This word incorruptible, it means not liable to corruption or decay, imperishable. It can't die. More importantly, it can't be corrupted. The seed that we were born of, our first nature, was corruptible. And since it was corruptible, it became corrupted. But when you're born of this new nature, as a new creature, as a new creation, the seed that you're born of cannot be corrupted. Oh, that's shout material, friends. That's run around the building kind of material. Oh, I hope I make it. You can't not make it. I hope I don't fall. You can't fall. I hope I don't become corrupted. You can't. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've escaped that. That's the old man. The new man is not corruptible. He can't be turned. He can't become a double agent. He's an agent of the kingdom of God, and he cannot be corrupted. He cannot be turned. He cannot be bought. He's been bought with a price. Hallelujah. And he can never be bought again. He can never sell out. He can never walk away. Oh, friends, you can get discouraged and stay home for a little while, but you'll never quit. You can't walk away because that seed that remaineth in you is incorruptible. That word divine, theos, Godhead, partakers of the divine nature, Godhead, spoken of the only and true God. Whatever can in any respect be likened to God or resembles him in any way. Sounds like we're blaspheming, doesn't it? Sounds too good to be true. But it is. This is his work.
This is not the church's word. This is not denomination's word. This is not Brother Baker's idea. This is straight from the Word of God.
So our first birth was of corruptible seed. And that's why we behaved in corrupt ways. We could be corrupted. And we were corrupted. But this other seed that was in us, it cannot be corrupted. Because it's not subject to corruption. It came from God. And since it came from God, it cannot be corrupted. Now, man has been looking for this kind of life, and he'll never find it. Science is looking here and looking there. They'll never find it. God alone has that life. And God alone gives it. And he gives it to his family first. You say, why to his family? What do you mean to his family first? Who else is he going to give it to? He's going to give life at the second resurrection to the saved, to the whosoever will group. He'll give to them life as well. They'll live outside of the kingdom and they'll have eternal life. But he gives it to his family first. Oh, that makes the devil so mad. He wants to break into that. He wants that life so bad. But his days are numbered. Friends, he can try science, he can try this, he can try that, he can try all the things that he wants, but his day is numbered. He has an appointed time. He has a beginning, he has an ending. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you have no beginning and you have no ending. You were part of him, you are a part of him, you will always be a part of him. You can't die any more than God can die. I'm not talking about this mortality. I'm looking forward to this thing dying. Not right now, though. Let me finish the sermon. I need this flesh right now. I need this body. As frail as it may be, as problematic as it may be, I need it. God cannot be manifested in my life without this. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Amen. And cometh down from the Father of lights. He gave you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes. From above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. Of his own will. He didn't say, would you like to be born of me? Of his own will. He decided to begat you. Of his own will. Now who's going to stop his will? Oh, you put so much confidence. My confidence is all in him. He started this, he'll finish it. No one will stop him. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This word will, it means to will deliberately, to have a purpose, be minded of willing as an affection to desire. It was his desire. It was his affection. It was his deliberation. It was his purpose to begat you. The word begat, to bring forth from the womb, to give birth to produce. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits, the first portion of the dough from which sacred loaves were to be prepared. Hence, term used of persons consecrated to God. Oh, I love this. You ready? Yeah. Fasten your seatbelts. Be careful, the items overhead may shift. During... Hence, term used of persons consecrated to God for all time. Well, little big whoop. Term used of persons consecrated to God how long? Till you backslide?
No.
Till you fall away?
No.
You can't fall away. Listen, friends, you can get to the place where you get so down and you say, I'm just not going to serve God. But if you've been consecrated to God for all time, He'll take you home. He will not allow you to fall away. Oh, let that grip you. He has consecrated you to Him for all time. You can never be lost again. The prodigal son will never go back into the world. His worldly days are over. He's lost the taste for that kind of a life. He's found his home. He knows who his father is. He knows what belongs to him. He knows what his inheritance is. He will never, ever, ever, ever become an old creature again. He's been changed. He's now a new creature. And he's consecrated to God for all time. Now that doesn't sound right to the natural man. But this is not the natural man being compared to the natural man. Wow. I didn't read the rest of that definition to you. Persons, first fruits. Persons superior in excellence to others of the same class. That don't sound right, does it? That sounds egotistical. I thought we weren't supposed to compare ourselves amongst one. I thought God wasn't a respecter of persons. You're talking about the old class, not the new class. It's not the natural man that's being compared with the natural man. This is the new creation versus the old creation. Would it be fair to say tonight that the new creation is superior to the old creation? It better be. Your new birth is superior to your old birth. Is that okay? Your new race, oh, we're racist tonight, has nothing to do with color. The new race is superior to the old race. Because the old race was corruptible, but not the new race. Can you receive that? The God race is the superior race. I didn't say the Aryan race. I said the God race. You know, it's amazing how these cults get started, and there's an element of truth there. There is a superior race, but it's not a human race. It's not a mortal race. It's an immortal race. They're the ones that are going to rule and reign throughout eternity. Well, hallelujah. The seed gene that's in you, that's quickened, is of another race. Glory to God. They're trying to find the missing link that links the animal kingdom to man. What a waste of time. Why don't they look for the missing link that links the mortal race to the immortal race? That links the heavenly to the earthly. That links the heavenly bridegroom to the earthly bride. That brings heaven and earth together and causes them to kiss and embrace. That creates a natural, supernatural man. or a naturally supernatural man. Oh, Superman ain't got nothing on us, friends. Leap tall buildings in a single bound. Big whoop. I'm not going to leap it. I'll just go right through it. Hear that, Grayson? Glory. 1 John 3:8. Have I shook you up yet tonight? Okay, then hold on here. Here's an opportunity. All right? Let's read this the way it's written. Okay? So good to see my brothers and sisters back there. And my young brother, the Navarro family. We love you. I was thinking about you this morning. Actually, he was thinking about you this morning. Listen to this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Who's he talking about? You. Told you I was going to flatten you. You were born in sin. Every one of you has committed sin. And the reason why you committed sin is because you're of the devil. Oh, how could you say that? Well, you can't say that you're of God if you committed sin. You were of the devil because you were married to the devil. You were married. He was your ruler. Even when you wanted to do good, you couldn't. Even when you said, you know what, from now on, I'll be good. A man that beats his wife, he means it. When his wife's ready to leave him, the family, this, that, there, he's sorry. And he means it when he says, I'm sorry. And he believes it when he says, I won't do it again. But he can't help himself. He needs a nature change. Something needs to change on the inside. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Have you committed sin? Have you committed sin? Amen. Of course you have. Well, then that means you're of the devil. Oh, you don't want to hear this, do you? Why do you think that part has to die? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, we look at that, we say he's going to destroy the works of the devil. You're inviting him to kill that nature that's on the inside of you that caused you to sin. You couldn't help it. You became subject to vanity not willingly. You could not help it. As hard as you try, you're still a sinner. Until he destroys the works of the devil in you. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Well, there you are. You are of the devil. So you allowed God to kill that old nature. You were born again of a new nature. And now you're of God. And since you're of God, you can't sin. You cannot doubt in the soul that part of you that's born of God. You have passed from death unto life. You will not reject his word. Oh, you'll make mistakes, but the mistakes you're making is in the mortal realm, not in the immortal realm. Because in the immortal realm, friends, you can't die. You can't doubt. You believe God in the soul.
He cannot sin because he's born of God. This word born, to bring forth of men who fathered children, to be born, to be begotten of women giving birth to children. Does not commit sin, commit to bring forth, to make a thing out of something, to make one do something, cause one to be the authors of things, to cause, to bring about. You cannot bring about sin. Sin is unbelief. You believe. Now your flesh is not converted. And your flesh has to be ruled over. And your friends, oh, I hope somebody's listening tonight. Well, Jesus couldn't have ever feared, because fear is sin. And fear is doubt, so he couldn't have feared. He did. But not in the soul. In the flesh he did. But what was in the soul took preeminence over what was in the flesh. Friends, if this doesn't break on you, you're going to be schizophrenic. You're not going to be able to understand yourself. Because you do. You are tempted with fear. There are times when you're afraid to do something, but something in you drives you to do it anyway. Scripture says he feared death. Now you can say whatever you want about that, but he's my near kinsman. And if he didn't experience fear, then he cannot be my advocate. He can't be my high priest. Because he had to be tempted in all ways. He was tempted by it. In the flesh. But in the soul, it is well. You can know that God has given you the green light on something. And you can know just as sure as you know who you are, that that's the direction you're supposed to go in. And the devil can get your head to wrap around, you know, like you're triple jointed. Get your head to just twist all around and try to get you confused. But down in the soul, you know that this is the direction, and you'll go ahead and do it. Any other humans here tonight? Thank you. Just checking. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. The word seed, it comes from the word sperma. The semen, virile, the product of his semen, seed, children, offspring, progeny, family, race, posterity, whatever possesses vital force or life-giving power, the Holy Spirit, the divine energy operating within the soul by which we are regened or regenerated. So the part of you that's born of God cannot commit sin. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Besides Brother Juan, who's faithful, he'll just amen it. That's the truth. Thank you for sitting there tonight. I'm going to preach to you tonight. The part of you that is born of God cannot commit. How could it?
Amen.
It's eternal.
Amen.
It came from God.
Amen.
It believes the word. It is the word.
Amen.
So sin does not usher forth from that part that is born of God. So the mistakes must come from the other two realms, which is why these other two realms need to be brought into subjection to the Word. That regenerated soul cannot doubt. But the body can worry. The body can get nervous. Friends, I've noticed, you know, things just come in waves. Because of this isolation, we are social creatures.
Amen.
I'm dying to give you a hug, brothers. And I'm going through withdrawals.
We are social creatures. And we need a certain amount of socialization. We need it. It's not optional. It's not something that's nice to have. I remember when we lived in the Bay Area, and we would go over the mountains to a place called Big Basin, which, there's redwood trees that are 3,000 years old, some of them. And we would hear about people that would come walking out of the woods that couldn't even speak English any longer. Well, why couldn't they speak English? No socialization, right? And I guess they got tired of talking to themselves, or they quit listening, or something. But it messes you up. We are social creatures. So this pandemic, it has isolated us. It has separated us. It's caused us to pray more. It's caused us to press in more. And some of the artifacts of this is worry. It's tension. It's anxiety. It's sleeplessness. Yes. Sound familiar, anybody?
Yes.
It's not just one of you. These are things that we go through as human beings, as humanity. But there's a part of you that's born of God. And that part is in you to take control. It's to take control over the part that's not born of God. And it's to make your body obey the word. Right? So you have to purpose. These things are going to come. But the cure is in you tonight. They're going to come. But what you need to do is preach to yourself. What you need is to speak the word to yourself. What you need to do is whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pleasant, whatsoever things are right, think on these things. You need to preach the word of God to yourself, and your body will line up to it. You need to enforce the claims of God. So just as the old nature that was in us dragged our flesh through the sewer systems of sin, so does the new nature take us into the positive realms. We long to get to the place where we no longer have to deal with this mortality. But Christ had to deal with mortality too. He struggled with going to the cross. He struggled with mortality. He struggled with issues of mortality. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to become sin. He didn't want to be separated from his Father. He didn't want to be separated from his brethren. He didn't want to die. That's totally mortal, friends. In his soul, there was no such battle. It was in this other realm. So we long to get to the place where we no longer have to deal with this mortality. And yet, at the same time, we need this body in order for God to be expressed in our lives. Without this body, there's no expression. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And quit wishing for somebody else's container. The one he gave you is the right one, I assure you. The right model and serial number. First John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. Now, what part of you is born of God? I'll pull over here in just a moment. What part of you is born of God? Well, thank you for asking. Questions and answers. What's the difference? What difference is it between body, soul, and spirit? He says, the body is the flesh that you look at that must rot. Your future is rottenness. You're going to have to rot. Just not now, okay? It was born by sexual desire of father and mother. It must rot. It's no good. That's the part that gives you the trouble. Therefore, in the new birth, in the resurrection, when you're brought forth again in a new body, amen, it'll be God's creative power that'll speak like he did to Adam, and you'll come forth.
Amen.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's powerful.
Amen.
We've already seen where he's done it before.
Yes.
He can do it again,
yes,
and he will do it again. So in the meantime, this flesh has to be disciplined. That doesn't mean you disciplining my flesh. It means you disciplining your own flesh. Why is it that we can find fault in everybody else and tell them when they need to, you know, do this or do that? Where do we get off doing that? Don't you have enough trouble with your own flesh? The flesh has to be disciplined. It has to be told to get up. Last week and a half, we've been getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. First time, it wasn't so bad. Second, third, fifth time, it's like, I don't want to get up. What am I doing here? Whose idea was this? Let's shoot him. Nobody should be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You got to tell this flesh when to get up. You got to tell it when to go to bed. You got to drag it to church at times. We're not living in that realm where we go by feelings. Feelings will say, well, I don't feel like going to church. But there's something in you that lives for church.
Yeah.
And that something that's in you says, come on, boy, we're going to church.
Yeah.
Well, I know you got excuses, but you know, there's 168 hours in the week. You've had, you know, 150 of them. Now it's time for us to get a few of these hours.
Amen.
That soul must be fed.
Yeah.
The flesh needs healing.
Amen.
Friends, we are not, I think this pandemic, I hope it's proven to everybody that we have no promise that sickness won't come upon us.
Right.
And those that have arrogantly, well, bless God, we're the bride, and so we'll just, you know, we'll just all sit together, and this is all just a kludge and a, you know, a hocus pocus and just all a big makeup, and these things can't touch us. And, they've been humbled.
Yeah.
Because there's no word on that.
Right.
We have no promise that these things won't come. We have a promise of healing. We have a promise of deliverance. By his stripes, we are healed. Now, the only way I could be healed is if I get... So how will I ever experience healing except I get sick? Now, I'm not inviting sickness and I'm not looking for it. But healing is manifested because of sickness. Satan has access to this realm. But you've got to tell him to move off. Jesus got headaches. He got tired. He got weary. He got sunburned. That's this frail, mortal flesh. Flesh has to be disciplined, has to be told to get up, has to be told to go to bed, has to be dragged to church. It needs healing. It needs encouragement.
Yes.
Oh, bless God, you're a bride, so you don't ever need encouragement. You do.
Yes.
It needs love. Without love, we form complexes. It needs attention. A certain amount. It needs feeding. It needs pruning. And it needs to be made subject to the Word of God. Smyrna Church Age. As the eternal Logos, God, was manifested in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so we, I hope you're listening. Even so we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, became the many-membered spoken word seed, manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God, even as we are so called. It's your turn now. Paul was manifested. Jesus Christ was manifested. All of those that have went before us are manifested sons of God. Now it's your turn. He says, we did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed, and therefore we were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. Well, friends, there's a place for them. It's a wonderful thing, the whosoever will group, but there's nothing there to quicken. Millions upon millions are going to be saved, but not quickened, because there's nothing in them to quicken. Abraham had seed that was in him, and we are of the seed of Abraham, spiritually speaking. But Lot, who was his nephew, there was nothing in him to quicken. There was a place for him. Abraham went after him, but God did not appear to Lot. And Lot got to the place where he no longer dwelt in the message. But he went to Sodom instead. And he was saved by the skin of his teeth, so to speak. But he and Abraham were not of the same seed. Again, he says, hold this carefully in mind. Now take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God, by his death, the shed blood, bought back his own. He bought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow me. You always were a sheep. You always were a sheep. You always were a sheep. You, which you is he talking about now? You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That is impossible. For every kind of life produces the same kind, and there's no change in species. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word, and hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. Not we're going to be. We are. We heard his voice and we cried out, as did the prodigal son, save me, O my Father, I am returning to thee. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There it is. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption, restoring to the original owner by means of purchase or paying the price. And thereby, listen to this. Oh, I love this. Thereby placed us as sons. Listen, you already were a son, but you needed to be placed. Jesus was placed as a son. Placed us as sons. He did not make us sons, for we already were his sons. But he placed us as sons. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as his sons. We were held captive by the devil, by that old nature. But we are sons nonetheless. And hear this. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, whereby you cry, Father, Father, upon whom did the Spirit fall at Pentecost? Sons. At Corinth, upon sons, while they heard the word. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It is the new birth. It is the Spirit of God coming in and filling you after you have repented, having heard His word, and you've been baptized in water as an answer of a good conscience towards God. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures real fast, no commentary, but I just want to show you what a new creature looks like. It's the son or daughter of God being quickened, coming forth. It's who you are being made manifest. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Corinthians 1:8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, the Catholics have this ridiculous thing that they call confirmation, where they confirm you. They take a little baby and they sprinkle it with water and they confirm that baby, saying, you know, they're confirming that it's of the kingdom of God. Nonsense. There's only one that can confirm you, and that's Him. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word confirm means to make firm, to establish. He will establish you. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Not fear, but love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Philippians 2:15, that ye might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Jude 1:24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. Let's stand. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. I surrender. Have your way, Lord. Let thy word be manifested in my life. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Let me match the description of what your word describes. Let me surrender in every way. That's what we're doing, friends. We're surrendering more and more and more. And as we surrender more and more and more, we are changed from glory unto glory unto glory. We are in the process of becoming. Can you say amen to that? You've been born, but you're in the process of becoming. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before you, as your children, Lord, we're so thankful for this great tremendous supernatural thing that you've done in our lives. We're thankful, Lord, to be associated with you, to be called by your name. We're thankful, Lord, to be shaken, to be woken up, to be resurrected from the dead. We were once, as all others, dead in our sins and trespasses. But God, who's rich in mercy,
amen.
Lord, you didn't leave us in that condition. You didn't leave us in that state. We were without hope. We were undone. We were as all others, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We came into this world speaking lies. But Lord, you've placed something down on the inside, something that came from you, a hidden portion of yourself that you placed behind the veil. And in due season, you called and you drew and you quickened. We surrendered. We were convicted of our sin. We repented. We were baptized. And Lord, you came to kill that old nature, to set us free. To him that the Son has set free, he is free indeed. You came to open the prison cells and to set the captive free. We are no longer bound by our old taskmaster. We are no longer bound by that old hell-bound nature. But Lord, that nature, we've laid it on the altar and we've said, kill it, Lord. I surrender. I don't want to be associated. I don't want to be tethered, identified, united, married to, under bondage of. I want to be free of it. And Lord, you came to set us free. You came to destroy the works of the devil. You came to separate us from our old life, to separate us from our old nature. And then, Lord, you gave us a new spirit. You birthed something within us. And then your spirit came, Lord, with a new nature, our new husband, our bridegroom. And Lord, we surrendered and we said, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, Lord, that new nature rules over us. And Lord, there's a new nature that's in us, a nature that believes the word, that cannot doubt because we are part of the word. That part of us that's been quickened is the word, and the word can't doubt the word. We can't deny the word because we would be denying ourselves if we denied the word, the real us. The old man was a doubter. The old man could be talked into this and talked out of that. Could be convinced of this and can be convinced of that. But the new man is confirmed by you, established by you in the faith. And Lord, you've placed a portion of yourself by the quickening of the Holy Spirit, a portion of yourself down in the soul. And Lord, you speak and you lead and you guide. And we're just so thankful for that tonight. Lord, where would we be? Lord, there was a time when I didn't want to live. There was a time when I just, this life was so hopeless and it was so mean and so dishonest and so hurtful, so destructive, so deceitful. But Lord, you gave me a reason to live. And that reason, Lord, was when you killed that old nature, when I surrendered to you. And Lord, you birthed that new nature down on the inside. Now I want to live. I don't want to just live for the moment. I want to live forever. And Lord, even though we go through trials and testings, I enjoy this life. Not this earthly fallen condition that we're in, but I enjoy living. I enjoy your fellowship. I enjoy your love. I enjoy learning of your nature, of your character. I enjoy seeing your word manifested in our lives. I enjoy seeing you change the lives of others, set others free. I enjoy, Lord, seeing sons and daughters of God come into life, coming into their position. I enjoy seeing you have preeminence in a body. I enjoy seeing good conquer evil. I enjoy seeing love conquer hate. I enjoy seeing healing conquer sickness. I enjoy seeing truth overcome lies and error. And Lord, it just gives me hope. It gives me purpose. I enjoy seeing what you're doing amongst us, amongst this body, each and every one. Now, Lord, we still suffer. We're promised of that. We will suffer just as you, those that live godly will suffer. But, Lord, the comfort that you bring is greater than the suffering. And the suffering brings forth the peaceable fruit. It brings forth character. It brings forth attributes, virtue. It brings forth your very being. It brings you on the scene in our lives. Lord, we wished it wasn't that way, but it is that way. And Lord, we're thankful when we've come to the other side of it, because we realize that we are coming more and more into being as we go through these things, and we're made stronger, and your word becomes more and more sure as it's proven to us in different avenues of our lives, different situations in our lives bring you on the scene. Lord, I don't believe there'll be a single member of your body that will never experience divine healing. Because, Lord, without experiencing it, it's theoretical. Without experiencing it, we could say, yeah, I've seen God heal. I know he's a healer. But we don't really know that, except it's manifested in our own lives. And then we could say, not only are you a healer, but you're my healer. Not only are you a deliverer, but you're my deliverer. Not only are you a savior, but you're my savior. Not only are you a comforter, but you're my comforter. You're my strength. You're my strong tower. Strong and mighty tower. Lord, I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, that if there's anything that we haven't confessed to you, that we would do so, Lord. As we approach your table here tonight, as we change the order of the service, Lord, I'm thankful that we can still partake according to your word of the bread and of the wine is in remembrance of you, in obedience to your word. And Lord, we trust that the time will soon come where it's appropriate for us to wash one another's feet. But in the meantime, Lord, we'll partake of the Lord's supper, of the Lord's table, as it were, in obedience to your word. Recognizing, Lord, that the bread is a symbol of your word, your body that was given for us. And that the wine is a symbol and symbolic of the very life that was in that blood cell that was released, that comes back into the heart of the believer, quickens us, and gives us power to live. It brings power for the word that's already in us to be made manifest. It quickens that word. We thank you for it, Lord. So, Lord, as we approach this table, we pray one for another. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless the one standing next to us. Bless our brother. Bless our sister. Bless our husband, our wife, our grandma, our grandpa, whatever, whoever it might be. Lord, we ask that you'd bless each and every one, that you'd move on each and every heart. Lord, that you just bring to our remembrance. And Lord, when you bring things to our remembrance, it's not to beat us down. It's not to shame us. It's to set us free. It's to bring it to our remembrance so that we can confess, because that's our desire. We want to be right with you, Lord. We will make mistakes, and we'll do things out of stupidity. We'll do things out of carelessness at times. But in our soul, we want to be able to say it is well. We want to be able to say, Lord, that our heart is right, that our motive, that our objective is right. And Lord, we ask that you'd forgive us for the indulgences of this flesh, for allowing the flesh to go this way or that. Lord, we are endeavoring to bring this flesh into subjection to your word, so that you might have preeminence in a body, that your word might have the preeminence. And Lord, we've got this choice to make, each and every one. We've got to keep our minds single. We've got to keep our eye on the goal. Lord, we've got to willfully bring our bodies into subjection. Grant it tonight, Lord. I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one, whether we're at home listening in or whether we're here in the building tonight. I pray that you deal with each and every heart. Father, we know there's healing in the cup, and we're in expectation. We know that there's needs in this body tonight, some that have been expressed, some that haven't been expressed, but we know that we're entitled to it, Lord. And we know that obedience to your word, total obedience to your word, entitles us to that token life. And with that token life comes every redemptive promise, becomes every exceeding great and precious promise that you've given to us. Father, I pray that you'd bless each and every one now, that each and every one would be encouraged. Lord, we're looking for the time when this pandemic is lifted, when this virus is driven off, and Lord, is no longer a threat. And we're asking for it, Lord. And we thank you for the wisdom that you've given to man to come up with these different reagents, these different treatments and what have you, Lord, to drive away the effects. We thank you for all the lives that have been saved. And Lord, we trust that those that have been taken home, we trust that it was their time. We don't understand maybe, but we commit it into your hands, knowing, Lord, that you do all things well. Knowing that the enemy cannot take us before our time. So, Lord, come what may, we give you praise and honor and glory. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray that you'd comfort my dear brothers and sisters, Lord. Some of us have lost more family members than others and loved ones, but Lord, you promised that you'd be our strength and our comfort, and I pray for it tonight, Lord, sincerely and genuinely from the bottom of my heart. There's not a person in this building, perhaps, that hasn't experienced that at one point or another, so we know how to pray, Lord. We know how to ask for these things. We ask that you would strengthen our brothers and our sisters. Encourage them, Lord. Father, don't let them become hung up over these things, or don't let it affect them, Lord. Don't let any root of bitterness to come in, or malice, or even just plain questioning. But Lord, we want to just commit it into your hands. And we know, Lord, that it's a hard thing. We sympathize, but we know greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We know, Lord, that you have the prescription for what we have need of tonight. And we know, Lord, that there's not a one of us that you can't bring comfort to in our time of need. And so we ask for that sincerely tonight, Lord. We know that there are holes that are left. And we also know, Lord, that if we live long enough, we're going to see many more pass over to the other side. We know that it's part of the cycle. It's not something that we look forward to or long for, but we know that nothing's amiss. So we commit it unto you, Lord. May your blessings be upon each and every one now, Lord. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for the miracles that you perform and continue to perform. We thank you for your keeping power, Lord. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And Lord, we ask that your angels would continue to encamp about us. Lord, as we endeavor to follow your leadership, to do what we know to do, but we're trusting in you in all things. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his name. You love him? Hallelujah. Amen. We've got these things set up on both sides of the table. And I notice that some of you come up and you stand in line and there's nobody over here. And maybe you want to do it with somebody else. But please, so that we don't make this take longer than it needs to, please come up and partake of it. And some of you like to come up and kind of linger. If you want to linger, if you wouldn't mind just stepping aside and lingering, that's just fine. But we don't want to rush anything, but we also don't want to hold anybody back. So if you wouldn't mind, we'd appreciate it. Amen. So we'll just bow our heads again for just a moment.
I'm going to try not to trip and fall again. Last time I was standing on the step and I went to put something in the garbage can and I went into the garbage can. So just... Father, as we approach this table once again tonight, Lord, our confidence is in you. We ask that you'd bless the bread that's been prepared, Lord. It's unleavened. It's not mixed with anything. It's been prepared according to your instruction. We ask that you'd bless it to the goodness of our bodies, that you bless the hands who prepared it, Lord. We ask that you'd bless this wine that we're partaking of tonight and impart, Lord, representing your life that was given to us. We ask that you'd bless it to the goodness of our bodies once again. And we thank you for it, Lord. And Father, as we partake of these symbols, we know that we're not literally partaking of your body. And we know that it's not literally your blood that we're drinking or the life that was in your blood even that we're drinking. But these are symbols of what we believe is taking place. For we are in communion with you. We are partaking of the bread of life. We are eating your flesh and drinking your blood. We are partaking of the unfailing word body of the Son of Man. And we are thriving and existing and being fed by what we're partaking of. We're doing this in symbol form, Lord, in remembrance of what has been offered for us and sacrificed for us that we would never forget. And Lord, also to cause us to search our hearts to make sure that we can say all is well. Knowing, Lord, that when we come and partake of this worthily, that properly, that there's healing in the cup. That whatever we have need of is here. And you've provided it. So, Lord, we ask that your blessings would be upon it now. And we give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The light.